least 2 weeks, I've been hearing Holy Spirit say, make room, make room. And what does make room mean? It's a call to action on your part. We must remove what God is needing us to remove. We must step out and go forth into what God is calling us to do. And we must have faith even when the situation doesn't look like that it's going the way we thought it was. So for each person and each season, making room can look differently. It can be different. It may be a call to more prayer time. It may be a call to more fasting. It may be a call to step out into something that God is leading you into doing. So we make room in different ways, but God has been, for 2 weeks, been speaking, make room, make room. And so things are happening in the spirit. You may not always see them on the earth and the natural, but spiritually things are happening. Holy Spirit is moving. And I, for one, want to be a part of everything that God has planned in this earth. And definitely I want to hold my part up. I want to be equipped to do what God has called me to do. And that's what making room is about, being equipped to do what God has given you to do. And a lot of times you've heard me say it many times, it's bigger than you. It is. It is. But you're not unable to do it because God has given you His Spirit, Holy Spirit, and He equips you for everything He's called you to do. But it does start with your choice. You have to choose God. You have to choose to do what God has called you to do. You still have free will. Holy Spirit's not going to make you go somewhere. He's not going to grab you and lead you. He's going to ask you and present the opportunity. Isn't that right, Shantana? Last week, we learned that lesson a lot. And I thank God she shared it Tuesday night with the women, because it's encouraging to know that we are all human. And we all have doubts, and we all have fears, and we all have things in our lives that the enemy tries to use to keep us from being and doing what God has called us to do. So I just want to talk out loud about some of the people in the Bible. And we have a Bible full of people that had to make room. Noah was the first one, besides Abraham. But Noah, he had to build an ark. They had never seen anything like that. It literally said God gave him the instructions. Everything, down to what wood to wear, the measurements, how to make it, what room. He had no idea what he was going to be spending so many months in this boat, floating on water that they hadn't rained, they had never seen before. They'd seen dew, but not rain. And how many, the animals that were coming, his provision for his family. I mean, it was, every detail was given to him by God. Now, what if he skipped one detail? Like, you know, maybe we don't need to put the tar on that wood. He would have sunk. So he had to make room and put his pride aside, because you know what? People were laughing at him. I mean, the other people around were laughing at him. It could have been his family was like, Dad has lost his mind. He's wanting to build this big boat, you know. And I'm like, I could just hear myself in the natural talking. But he had to make room for God to operate in his life to save not only himself, but his whole family. I mean, that's how intentional it is. It's not just your salvation you're dealing with. It is for each and every person you're connected to. You have a call. You have a destiny. And every person you come across can benefit if you have made room for God to operate in your life. Abraham, he said, leave your father. That wasn't a custom at that time. The sons stayed and they took over the business and they prospered the family business. He said, leave your father and your country and go where I'm going to tell you to go. He didn't even give him a plan. I'm not a girl that don't like to have a plan. Benny Gross wants to get in the car and just drive, and we'll just stop when we stop. And I'm sitting there going, oh, dear God, I need a plan. I need to know. And here we are at midnight looking for a hotel because we both got tired. And I'm like, God, if we just had a plan, you know. And But he had to make room for that call in his life. He had to leave everything. Him and Sarah had to go and didn't even have a plan to where to go, just follow me. And I've more and more, as I walk out this Christian walk, I realize it. That's pretty much it. Just follow me. You've seen the little TikToks that say, here it is. This is how you walk with Holy Spirit. Right here. Now wait. Now let's go. Stop. That's it. It's it. That's it. I mean, literally. Sometimes he does give you hints to what's going on, but I have found out when he tells you the whole story, it usually you find a way to mess it up. So that's why he doesn't do it. He tells you just piece by piece, just follow me. Just have faith. Trust me. So Gideon. Gideon's another one. I love to read about Gideon. Gideon was the least of his. He was fearful. They had been, I think it was 7 years they had been under oppression by the other country. And he was hiding in a floor, threshing what little wheat he could save from their plunder. And the angel of the Lord shows up and talks to him and calls him a mighty man of valor. And, you know, he looks at himself, because I know how I feel. I'm like, you talking to me? Are you sure? I'm over here hiding, trying to get a morsel of food. And the army's out there, and you calling me a mighty man of valor? Well, he pushed the limit even further. He went out with thousands of people, and God says, that's too many. You got to set some down. He went with 300 up against like 7,000 men or 3,000 men. 300 men. That's all he had. But God worked mightily in his life because he made room for what God called him to be and did what God told him to do. And the way he did it. Abraham and Isaac, we'll go back to Abraham. Remember what God gave him, a promise? That was Isaac. There was going to be nations made out of Isaac. And one day God says, I need you to sacrifice him. And could you imagine? But God, you gave that to me. That's my promise. But Abraham didn't flinch. He got up the next morning and went obediently to where God showed him. And then he even tied the young man up and laid him on the altar and raised the knife to do as God had commanded him, and God stopped him. He says, I just want to make sure, this is not scripture, but I want to know that your heart is for me and not for what I gave you. That's what that story is about. He provided a ram in the bush. So don't ever think that you're bigger than what God is doing in your life. Don't allow that to get to be the main. I've seen so many people have ministries in churches, and it becomes their whole genre. That's who they are. And God is not pleased when you're taking all that glory, because I have seen it taken like that. Just like that. You're one of 1,000 people he can use. Or 10,000. What was it he told Elijah? Elijah says, I'm the only one, Lord. He's like, boy, get over yourself. I got 6,000 over here. Those are my words, of course. But, I mean, it's the story is true. Don't be so caught up in things. David spent his life running from Saul, most of it, even with the promise. But he always made room for God. Always made room from God. He was living in caves and running from his father-in-law. That's how close he got. You know, he was singing to him to try to soothe him from the spirit that he had on him. And he would take a javelin and throw it at him. And I'm like, dude, ain't you going to hang around some more? But you do what God's called you to do. Remember the one time in the cave? Saul came in the cave, and his men are telling him, this is your opportunity. God has opened the door for you to take his life and be king. But David was wise. He listened to God. He made room. He didn't listen to everyone else. He made room for what Holy Spirit said. Holy Spirit said, don't touch not my anointed. And he cut a piece of his cloth off. And after Saul left the cave, he went out and showed him. He said, if I had wanted to, but I won't do it to my king. Are you making room for God in your situation? the Shunammite woman. I love this story in the Old Testament, 2 Kings 4 and 8. I'm going to read this one. It says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunammite, where was a great woman." We're never given her name. "And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." Now, when you find a house, a household that blesses you and is godly and brings you peace, that's a household that you can trust. And this is what Elijah was learned. You know, he learned. And it says, "And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." Isn't that beautiful? Pouring into the life of the prophet. Sometimes God will ask you to do things that don't quite make sense to anyone else. But it's a blessing to the people of God, to the house of God. And she was obedient and did what? And they made a room for him. Let me go on to other examples. Let's go into the New Testament. Zacchaeus. Do you remember Zacchaeus? God will ask you when you feel like you don't measure up. He was short in stature, according to Luke 19, and he climbed up in the sycamore tree because Jesus was coming the way, and he wanted to be able to see him. And Jesus comes by him, and he looks up, and he saw him, and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." He was one the Jews didn't want because he was a tax collector, and they considered him filthy. But Jesus said, "Make room. I'm coming to your house today." And he did. He went. His household was saved. He and his household. He repented of his sin and paid back everything that was taken in deceit. But that was beautiful. He made room for Jesus that day. Do you do that when you feel like you're not measuring up? That's what the enemy wants. He wants you to stay in that "I'm not good enough" attitude. I'm less than. No, but Jesus is calling, "Make room for me." He's going to meet you where you're at. "Make room for me." Mary and Martha, worship and serving. Do you remember the story in Luke 10? Jesus comes to their house, and Mary is up at his feet, and Martha is running around distracted, serving. And then she gets mad and tells the Lord, says, "Why don't you make her help me?" And I love what he says. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version, 41, verse Luke 10. It says, "And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Do you choose the good part? That's making room for God. Choose him. How about when Lazarus passed away? Whoo! They still made room, even though they were doubting the whole way. "Lord, you know, you're going to roll that stone away. He's been in there like 4 days. He's probably stinking," is what Martha said. And Mary's just sitting back there crying probably, just in awe. And imagine they made room. They were obedient. "Take me to where he's at. Roll away the stone. Lazarus, come forth." The disciples, they were some great examples, weren't they? I remember in two boat incidents, you know. Matthew 8, Matthew 14, you can read both of them. First one, Jesus is, they're in a violent storm, and they get terrified because the water's coming in. They go and wake him up, Jesus up, and say, "Do you care that we're going to die?" And he goes out and rebukes the storm. And the second one is when he puts them in the boat and sends them to the other side, and he goes and prays, and there's a storm coming, and they see him walking on the water. Have you ever seen things that God has showed you, and you're like scared at first? Yeah, it's okay. We saw that example right there, didn't we? "Is it you, Lord, or a ghost?" And old Peter, he said, "If it's you, bid me come." That's what God wants to hear. Get out of the boat, even in the storm. Make room for him. You ever wonder why the other ones didn't walk on water? Be the one that steps out of the boat when God calls you. If it's you, Lord, send me. That's what that goes to. If it's you, Lord, send me. Make room. Make room. When we make room, we find we have a few things. God never comes without provision, without rest, and without direction. Never. Go back to the room that the Shunammite woman made. She put three things in there. She put a bed in there. That symbolizes rest. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Notice that is not said to someone who is at rest already. It's for the hard times. It's for the things you don't understand. It's for the trials and the tribulations. It's for the storms and the fires that come your way. He says, "I will give you rest." That's how you find your rest, is you go to him and give him that burden and take his up. Isn't that beautiful? Table and stool. What did that represent? Provision. That means he's going to put something on that table. He's going to provide you something to sit down and enjoy. I know I love Psalms 23. It says, "Even he puts me in the presence of my enemy at a feast, at a table full." It's beautiful. But the scripture he gave me was John 6. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" He says, "I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous sign, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval." They replied, "We want to perform God's works too. What shall we do?" Jesus said, "This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent." Be careful where you're getting fed at. It's not going to be in the times when you see just the miracles happening, just wanting this. You know, Jesus, when he met the woman at the well, he said, and the disciples had gone to get him food, and he'd come back, and he refused the food. And they were like, "Who gave him something to eat?" He says, "I have meat to eat you don't even know about." Do you ever wonder why when you're in his presence, everything seems to be right? It's because Jesus said later in that scripture, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." You've got to believe. Remember in his temptation, Matthew 4, Jesus said, "People don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is why he keeps you, the enemy keeps you from your daily scripture, keeps you from people who can feed you with the living word of God, keeps you from church time, prayer time. He doesn't want you fed. He wants you starved, because he knows when you go out looking for something to eat, he's got something ready available for you. All that temporal stuff, all that fleshy stuff, all that things of the earth. Matthew 6 and 31 says, "So don't worry about these things, what you will eat, what you will wear, what you will drink. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." That's a promise to the children of God, Matthew 6. Read it. He comes with provision. Food is doing the will of God. My meat is to do the will of God that sent me and to finish his work. That's John 4. That's the story of the woman at the well. If you're hungry spiritually, look at what you're eating. Look at what you're feeding yourself. Are you not feeding yourself enough of God's word? Are you not finishing his work that he sent you to do? That'll put you in a desperate, desperate area if you're not. As preachers and ministers and teachers, when we're not able to do that, it puts a hunger in your heart, and it puts a desire to teach. And that's why you can't sometimes give us a mic, because we'll preach, you know, right there. We're hungry to give you what God has given us. We want to feed. That's in our heart. That's why sometimes when you talk to us, we talk about things, and you're like, good Lord, where's that mind? Where's she at? Where's she been? I know she's been in the presence of God, but you need to come back down here, girl. It's okay. It's all good. It's food. And we want to share it. We old country girls, you know, I grew up with grandparents and grandparents. So you went to visit, they fed you. As soon as you walked in the door, they went to start cooking. Well, you know, I got something that, you know, we didn't have money to buy gifts and share this, but we'd give you of our provision. We feed you. And, you know, and that's just, you know, something we've lost along the way, but not in the hills, not in our family. You come to my house, I'm going to say, what would you like to eat? I may take you out to eat. I might not cook, but I may take you out to eat. I will feed you. It's beautiful. I love to feed you. It might be a minister's heart. I'm not for sure. What was the last thing in the room? The candlestick. And that brought light that runs off the darkness. Puts it at bay. I love that. And of course, we know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. How many of y'all been through some wilderness and deserts? How many times has he made a way? 100%. He brought us through every time. Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful. I was reading some of the other stuff. 1 Corinthians 10 and 18, it says, God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your abilities. He will always provide the way of escape. I've been there. I've seen that. I'd like to say 100% of the times I didn't fall, but sometimes I did, and I have to get myself back up, get forgiveness, get it covered under the blood, as we old Pentecostals would say, and then get back in there. Isaiah 43 also says, thus saith the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters. There ain't no waters that won't get you. When you pass through the waters, it says, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And you will walk through fire, and you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. That's the light. That's the light. Are you making room for the light? Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, and shall have the light of life. Isn't that beautiful? Do you ever been afraid of the dark when you were little? Even adults, we like flip the light off and then run to the bedroom. But you know what? I have the light of life. I got a flashlight now. The kids were at my mom's house. My mother's in her 70s, late 70s, And my kids kept asking her, Mimi, why do you have a flashlight on this part of the floor and over here by this floor, on this floor? She said, anywhere I fall, I can grab a light. Got me a flashlight. But it's important to have light in your life, isn't it? And then he said something wonderful in Matthew 5. He said, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill that cannot be hid. Nor do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that's making room for God, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not for your glory. They're supposed to see Jesus in you. Right? Yeah. So as I was studying this, I thought it was really interesting. In Jesus' life in John 10, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He's talking about the sheep. The sheep come in through the door, but the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life. So when you make room for him, what are you making room for? You're making room for life. Life. How many of you all made decisions that ended in a death? Maybe not a physical death, but in death. It was bringing death. I could look at my life before Christ and see where I was headed directly to destruction, to death, physical death, actually, by the choices I had made. But now I see and stand back and I look at people around me and I see where they've not chose life, where they've chose with the flesh or chose with what was going on, what was the norm at the time, what they thought was okay. And it led to death. And how once that door was open, destruction came in and the enemy ravaged the whole family. And it's working on the next generation. I see those things. I see those things. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the door. But I was reading Revelations in chapter 3, after he talked to all the churches, seven churches, he said this beautiful thing in verse 20 of Revelation 3. He says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. It's funny, we went from I am the door to I'm knocking at the door. If you come in, so I'm going to submit to you today, your life will come, your Christian walk will come to that point. Mine has many times. I've entered the door. I'm in the sheepfold. I'm in his kingdom. But I still have to choose to let him in. I can be there. We've a lot of people who claim Christianity sit in churches every Sunday that haven't let him in, that haven't made room for him. So I'm asking you today, in your walk, in your Christian walk, your everyday, mundane, are you following him? Are you choosing every day to make room for him? That means, yes, I'm going to turn the TV off and I'm going to pray. Yes, I'm going to take time in the morning before I start my day to read scripture and talk to him. Yes, while I'm doing housework or whatever I'm doing, I'm listening to gospel music. I'm not putting anything else in my ears that's not going to bring me life. Are you making room for him in your life? God wants you to be. He has a plan. You know, Jeremiah said that I have a plan for your life. It's planned for good. Psalm says, I've written down all your days in my book. I've known you before you even come here. David wrote that. I have a good plan for your life, but are you making room while you're living for him, for that plan? To make that happen, he wants you to be, and he also wants you to do what he has planned for you. But you have free will. Like the Shunammite woman, he keeps coming here. I perceive he's a godly man. Let's make room for him. Are you making room for God? Are you making room for him in your everyday life? It's not going to be in the big moments, trust me. What you see happen here doesn't happen just here. It's in the praying and the searching and the reading and in the quiet time. That's where all that comes. That's what you see happen here. That's where that comes from. It's just, we just didn't walk in and it just happened. No, we spent time with our Lord. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to make room for you. Lord, that you are giving us free will. That you're not a slave master. But you're always there for us. Knocking at the door. Wanting to come in. Wanting to share your presence with us. Your wisdom, your knowledge. Your mighty power. You want to guide and lead us. You want to be the shepherd that cares for us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to see the things in our lives that we need to make room for you. I know it won't be a whole lot at once. It's just the little small things that change. But each and every time, you get more and more and more access to us. And we get to have more and more access to you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to make room for you. In Jesus' name, amen.